Good morning. Good morning. So far, I have escaped the flu. I am knocking on wood.
I wouldn't leave your house because I can vouch for it. It's not fun. Whatever strain I had, I was very lucky that it was the, let's see, how do I put this? It was the incapacity. I couldn't get out of bed or lift my head off the pillow, but that was it. I mean, the coughing, the runny nose, that comes with everything. But that was all I had. But when the light hurts and you can't watch TV, that kind of stuff, yeah, it's not any fun.
And that temperature going so high with so many people.
Oh, baby.
That is so dangerous.
It is. And, I got up to 103 once. That was my hot level.
Yeah, I mean, that's really made me want to stay away from friends, family, and meetings. However, you cannot always do that.
No.
And so I did go to the meeting in Indianapolis, and I thought, well, I'm walking right into Germ City to see what I might end up with. But it looks like as if I made it. I think if I had got something from that, I'd have it by now.
Yes, so, you would have. There's no doubt
right,
about it.
Did attend a meeting last night with our personnel committee that I'm a member of, and we go over our goals for the year as far as if we want to change how it interacts or whatever. I think there's going to be some information coming out from there to our county employees that we're going to try to get back on track of where that whole employee compensation and so forth was put together many years ago, and we've sort of got off track, and we're going to try to pull it back in. We spent a lot of taxpayer dollars to get all that in place, and we need to pull it back in.
How does it get off track, Marty? And I don't understand what got off track?
Well, what happens is you have a changeover in elected officials, people who department heads who might not have been so aware of the way it was supposed to work, and maybe even people on the council who maybe weren't fully aware of that, or maybe the philosophy had changed. Now, last night it appeared to me that they're going to go back to the way we were advised to do it from the get-go many, many years ago, so that we'll be better prepared to do our budgeting process, because what's happened in the last couple of years or more, it seemed like, okay, we vote on the budget, then all the whole rest of the year, we keep changing the salaries of different people, because if you have some department heads who are really good at putting together information and they're not at all intimidated to stand in front of the camera and make presentations, they seem to be able to get raises in different departments where other department heads might not do that. So that's the reason why you have the classification system, so that you don't have one group of people coming out making more dollars than somebody across the hall, because that's not fair. And so I think we'll find out if the will of the council is to get back to where we were, and we'll find out. I know that many years ago, former auditor Barb Clark and I were at a conference where we met Wagner, Earle, and Shealy, the people that put all that classification system together for us. And we met them and heard about the kind of problems we might be setting up for our county if we didn't have such a system, because you have to pay people fairly for the same like type of job. And so that's when Barb and I said, look, let's bring them to Monroe County and see what we can do. And they've been a part of Monroe County government services for a very long time. So we'll see. In the meantime, boy, last time I spoke with you, we were on our way to Indianapolis to look at these bills. And you would never know by reading the Herald Times what many of us in the county care about, because they haven't mentioned one word about all these annexation bills that's going to. Have you seen anything?
I have not.
Well, many of us are just watching the debate online and so forth. And what we saw was Senate Bill 171. We're sitting there looking at how the votes are coming down. Senator Stoops did not support Monroe County, but it looks like he did support the city. administration, but that bill did pass the Senate, so it'll be going over to the House. And that bill has to do with annexation limits. It just says that a municipality cannot annex more during a calendar year that has a total value of more than 15% of the value of the municipality that's annexing. Now, that's huge because 15% is a lot of total value. However, that is better than what we would have had in place. So I think that is helpful. We were advised by association in Indiana counties to try to get on board and get people to support that for the counties. But for whatever reason, that was not supported by Senator Stoops. Then, the reason why I say that is, of course, that's the senator that we have from here.
Right.
But also, we had Eric Cook, which did help with the, he was the co-author on that bill, so he helped us on that. And then Senate Bill 261 also was read for third reading on the Senate floor yesterday. And once again, Senator Stoops did not support it, but it was authored also by Senator Bray and Cook, who represents Monroe County, and it was co-authored by...
So the state senators from Monroe County are conflicting on this issue. You have one way and one the other.
Right. One represent evidently seems to be representing in the city more than the county. Eric Cook seems to be representing the county in these particular votes. And really, it's not just for Monroe County and the city of Bloomington, but because we know we have to be watching these annexation things because, you know, that's what we're right in the middle of. It's important for us to be following along. This Senate 261 has to do with those waivers. Remember all those waivers that were just sort of lost someplace and just sort of showed up at the recorder's office, boxes of them, after this annexation thing started, and it's like the recorder's going, whoa, whoa. This will address that so that if it was executed before July 1 of 2003, it's no longer applicable. Because what they're saying is, if you tell a property owner, if you get... Now, this is Marty speaking, my theory on what it is. They're saying to the property owner, if you'll just sign off on this waiver and we'll give you the sewer, but then if we come, but we plan to annex there, so you have to say you're not going to protest that. Well, this is sort of like putting the municipalities on notice. If you do that, then you have to move forward with that annexation. You don't wait 20 years or whatever to get around to doing it because that is too long to have waited for the process. Now, that's what it sort of sounded like to me during some of the discussion. But it says it voids anything that was signed before or after June 30th, 2003, and before July 1, 2018, unless the waiver was recorded in the county where the property is located and has to be recorded before January 1, 2019. So everything before July 1, 2003 would be gone. What was between June 30, 2003 and July 1 of 2018 has to be recorded before January 1. And it voids a waiver executed after June 30th unless that was recorded within 30 business days after the date the waiver was executed.
Well, I don't know if it's recorded. All right. I hear it. I get it. I understand what you're saying.
If you bought a piece of property and you're looking at your legal work and it doesn't say one word that there was a waiver on it, and you weren't put on any kind of public notice.
Right.
It just doesn't even seem legal. But, a person should be able to rely on their legal documents that they receive when they are buying.
Well, what else do they lean on? I mean, if you can't lean on those, what else are you going to lean on?
Right, and for most people, that when they buy their home, that is the biggest investment they will ever make in their lifetime. It's not just a monetary investment, but it's an investment in their family home. So these things are very, very important. Also, the bill that we were really fired up about, which was House Bill 1104, I believe it was, that also had in a portion, it was a lot of local government issues, but there's a portion in there that also speaks to the annexation issue. So we're all keeping our eye on what's going
to
happen.
Well, let me ask this question really quick, just to make sure I can get caught up on all this. Where we talk about, in those air quotes, annexation, where are we right now on all? Because we know the city and the state are still suing each other and trying to figure all this out, right?
Right. And
so these bills you're talking about are trying to provide guidance moving forward.
Well, yes, but also making it clear that these old waivers that's been sitting around who knows where and got thrown in at the last minute.
Yeah, you can't use those, right.
They're saying that those are not going to be valid to be able to be used. Now, you know, it's all up to whatever courts say, et cetera, I'm just saying that in the meantime, the city did sue, and the courts did uphold that they could sue the state. Is that correct? I'm trying to remember the history here.
Yes.
And that was
yes. They agreed. They ruled in the city's favor. This could go on.
Right. And then, but then it would have come back to Monroe County Court to then establish which court they were going to assign it to, because surely we would not be voting on that, or surely no judge would rule on it from Monroe County. So, and from there, I do not know exactly where we are on that.
All right. Well, I'll check with Mary Catherine Carmichael. She'll be with us tomorrow, and we can
see where it is.
Well, I mean, it's just one of those things that it just, we have so many things going on, and this is why I love to get caught up with you and the city on a weekly basis. Because if you had to ask me how many advisory committee meetings are going on and ordinance committees are, I mean, I'm lost, and I'm trying to help everybody else just kind of stay in the lines here. So when we're talking about this annexation bills, this is for future stuff down the road, correct?
Well, no, because they are setting a date on one of these. It says a void or expired waiver does not invalidate an annexation that was effective on or before July 1, 2018. Well, the annexation documents that were put together when the city started this was not to be effective until, what, several years out. Remember, even though they voted on it, the effective date for it to actually take place was to be a few years out. Like, what was it, 3 or 4 years out? So the effective date was not on or before June 30th, 2018.
Okay.
So who knows? This could all just be voted on by the House and by the Senate and maybe not even be pulled together at the end of the day. We could be watching this and it could all just, like, disappear.
County Councilwoman Marty Hawk's our guest this morning. She checks in with us every Wednesday to help us with what's going on in county government. I see in today's paper, Indiana Township merger bill fails without legislative vote. Is that something that would have helped or hurt Monroe County?
Well, it would have been a situation where the smaller townships, and I don't have the total, it was like 1,200 population.
Yes.
And I tried to find out the population for Polk, because I believe that's a smaller populated township that we have. And so far, I haven't been able to, there ought to be someplace you could look this up. But it was going to require then by a certain date that the smaller township then be incorporated in with the larger township. And so there were a lot of small township trustees who said, no, we're not interested, don't do this. But, you know, the crazy thing is, unless it happened yesterday and I don't have the update from that, we didn't even have a trustee from either party sign up to be trustee for Polk Township. Or or for Salt Creek Township. And the other interesting thing is that in Washington Township, north of the county, there was all this debate back and forth about northern fire territory. And as the last that I saw, the township trustee for Bloomington Township had not signed up again to run for office.
Oh, we got till Friday. There's plenty of time.
And right until the 9th, well, someone else had signed up. Somebody, Kim Alexander, had signed up. So, but there's a whole switcheroo going on. Like, someone who was a Republican is now signing up to run as a Democrat, and someone who was a Democrat is now signing up to run as a Republican in that particular area. So, boy, that debate is just raging on in Washington Township and Bloomington Township, and I just hope it can all be worked out somehow.
Let the voters settle it. That's exactly right.
Right, right. And I've got to tell you, that's no longer my district. They keep moving me around. You know, every time they turn around, it's like, okay, have a new district. But that's not my district. But I do hear from people, and I know that there's concern all the way around on that. The other part that's very interesting when you're looking at who has signed up for different offices, you'll see, and you might have spoken about this before, and I missed it somehow, but there's two now on the Democrat side running for county commissioner, and that's Lee Jones and Pat Stover. So,
I have not mentioned that yet because I have been out.
Right. Well, let me just say that Lee Jones always brings the highest vote total of everybody on the council when she's running at large. So she does have a lot of support on that side of the ballot. And then we have Ed Bittner, who was a Democrat, who's now going to be running on the Republican ticket for the county commissioner. So that's all very interesting to see what's going to happen there. But I did hear you mention briefly something about boards and commissions and meetings and whatever. So what I would want to remind people of is this advisor commission that's meeting having to do with the convention center. They're just bringing the information to the county commissioners. The real commission that will be making these decisions about what we can and cannot do with the money is that commission set together by the legislature. That's set by what was put together at the state that gave us permission to do this, even if we didn't want to. It did pass. So that commission will be what's appointed by the county commissioners and by the mayor, and there'll be three citizen appointments to that. So any discussion about what they're going to do with the money is just that, just a discussion.
Because gotcha.
What they're going to do with money will be decided by this yet-to-be-appointed commission. They had 2 months to put this commission together. Now, they may do it county commissioners may make their appointments today. I don't know. And then we'll see what the city does. But then any spending will have to go to that commission to be approved by them. So all of these documents that says, well, the city's going to pay so much or whatever, that is just paperwork. That's not the way that we'll have to wait to see what the commission says. And further, the state did a study on what they thought the food and beverage tax might bring in for all the different counties because there was some legislation that was going to go through that had been discussed at the state level for all the counties. And if I'm going by memory here, but I believe the state thought our revenue would be $2.3 million for food and beverage. Well, now locals are saying, well, it might be as much as $3 million. Well, that's the reason why they have to collect it for a year to see what
yeah,
will
makes
it really
sense.
Be, you know.
Yeah, you can guess all you want, but until you get a year in the books, you don't know what a year
right.
in the books is.
Right. I just
be.
Want to make it clear. Please, I'm not saying this to you, but just in general to folks, don't make promises to Ellisville on the west side that we're going to send money over there because there's no way any of us can make that promise. We have to wait to see what the revenue is, and we have to wait to see what that commission says we can do with the money. There's no guarantee.
And they're not required to either, correct?
Right. There is nothing in the law. It will be split up between the city and the county. Then we can't do anything with our portion until the commission that's going to be appointed tells us what we can do with it. And surely we won't do anything with it other than pay back the bond. If it takes every penny of pay back the bond, we can't leave the bond not paid for. The bond estimated is $2.6 million to be paid back. And, you know, you have to pay back the bond. And anyone might expect that interest rates will be more a year from now than it is now. So that bond payment could be a great deal more. So we're still a long way away from making promises to anyone that they will get special money for anything. And that's, you know, I just think that we ought to be very cautious about what we're saying is going to happen with these dollars.
All right, Marty, good job as always. We'll talk next Wednesday. It'll be Valentine's Day, so please wear your the costume we always ask on Valentine's Day. You know, the ruffles, the flourishes. Make sure there's
absolutely.
Yep. We'll
heart-shaped.
Yeah, we'll exchange cards like we always do and have orange drink boxes just like at school, right?
Right. And in the meantime, that calm down from the sports. Boy, were you wound up today.
Well, that's
I was excited.
It's annoying is what it is. It is fun, though. But we always thank you for your time, and we will talk next week.
Thank you.